from KQED.
This is the California Report podcast. I'm Lily Jamali reporting from Paradise. Two California communities, including this one, are marking 6 months since wildfires tore through their homes and neighborhoods. The Woolsey Fire in Malibu killed 3 people, and the Camp Fire here in Paradise and neighboring towns killed 85. It was the deadliest and most destructive wildfire in state history. The debris that once lined the main commercial strip in Paradise, the Skyway, has mostly been cleaned up. But even just a few feet off this main road, things look a lot like they did 6 months ago. A reminder of how hard this community is working to recover and how far it still has to go. We're devoting our entire show today to these fires. First, KQED's Sonia Hudson takes us back to the morning the campfire began on November 8th around 6:30 a.m.
Vegetation, possibly in the area of Camp Creek Road.
The campfire begins as a small vegetation fire under some PG&E power lines about 7 miles from Paradise. It spreads quickly at 1.8 acres per minute and closes that 7 mile gap in less than an hour and a half.
Then I realized how serious it was.
That's Cal Fire firefighter Doyle Biswell. He says even though it was 8 in the morning, the sky was completely black. He made it up into Paradise before the single four-lane road out of town got clogged with cars trying to flee, essentially sealing off the town from first responders for about 12 hours.
I kind of told my firefighters, I'm like, look, we're it.
Traffic clogged roads all throughout town. The fire was closing in. Biswell and his team could see it racing through the trees, hear propane tanks exploding. They knew they didn't have time to save any buildings. They had to save people. But it was just one bad situation after another. 5 people in wheelchairs were getting pushed up the street and their caregiver couldn't get into her car. A group was standing in front of their home, refusing to leave. Biswell went car to car and door to door.
I remember at one point evacuating people, and it was just screaming and chaos and people yelling at me, people cussing at me, people crying.
And then something happened that still haunts Biswell and his firefighters.
And as we're driving, I see a house on my right-hand side and a silhouette, and it was a person standing looking at a house next door completely engulfed in fire.
He had to turn his truck around to avoid getting trapped. When he got back, the person was gone.
I'm pretty sure I know what the outcome was. It was this property right here.
Driving through Paradise months later, Biswell says there's so much about this fire that was unprecedented. He still can't wrap his head around it.
This can't be the new normal, because you don't sign up for this. This is destruction.
For the California Report, I'm Sonia Hudson.
We're going to hear now from one of the many thousands of people who lost their homes in the campfire. We first met Dana Silvera and her fiancé David Herman just after the fire, following them as they went back into Paradise to see the charred ruins of their house for the first time. They now live in a rental in Chico. They're young enough to start over, but Dana is still reeling from the loss of everything they'd worked for. She told KQED's Polly Stryker that rebuilding in Paradise is looking less and less likely.
For us, it's one of those things that every time we talk to someone or we hear something, it gets longer. Nobody really has a good read on how long till there's fresh water. So that feels strange to build a home where there wouldn't be water, running water. And then the longer this goes on, you know, we're losing people. So who's going to come back?
So for you and David, have you decided that you will apply for a permit, or you're really not sure yet?
We're really not sure. We just look at the numbers. By the time we're able to actually break ground, what's this house going to cost us? And how much is insurance going to cost us on that house? And really, is there a value in a home if there's no community?
When you talk about moving out of state, do you talk about moving to a particular state, another place?
David's sister moved to Idaho almost 2 years ago now. So we're going to go look. You know, we talked about taking a road trip to some other parts of Oregon. We've been to the Oregon coast and we're going to go look there and see. You know, I guess we have this opportunity to reinvent ourselves. What we thought our life would look like may look differently now. So we're trying to find the positive in that. But it's really sad to still be here. People are really suffering here. So the thought of going where people have hope is good. where people don't talk about the fire every day would be nice. The reality is where we live, you know, there's still a lot of areas that could burn, and so it's only a matter of time. I mean, the grass is overgrowing as we speak on our lot, and there are going to be hundreds of lots that are just left. I mean, we went home to see my mom for her birthday and Mother's Day, and we were driving the back roads to Auburn, and you know, my brother and my sister-in-law are telling us, isn't it so gorgeous? We've always thought it was so beautiful. And the sad thing is David and I are looking out the window and I just see fire. And that's all I see anymore. I just see fire. I see fire everywhere.
That was Dana Silvera talking to KQED's Polly Stryker. Officials here in Butte County say young people are among the most vulnerable. Many students here are battling the same mental health issues they faced just after the fire, and they need more counselors to help them. KQED's Michelle Wiley has more.
Pieces of desks and twisted hunks of metal from what used to be Paradise Elementary School are being lifted by a backhoe and dropped into a nearby truck. For students that used to go here and others impacted by the campfire, they've had a lot to deal with since the area was ravaged. Housing insecurity, a loss of routine, and the ongoing trauma from the devastation. And experts say it's getting worse.
A lot of acting out, tiredness, inability to focus.
Director of Student Services for the Paradise Unified School District, Dina Capsalis.
Shutting down, being unable to maintain relationships with adults or peers.
The trauma response team in Butte County knew they'd start seeing this second wave of symptoms from kids around now, especially on the six-month mark. Capsalis says counselors try to view these manifestations of trauma as forms of communication. But while kids may show their symptoms more obviously, seeing those signs in their teachers can be even more difficult.
With adults, it's much harder, right? Because they have all kinds of systems of coping that often disguise what's really going on with them.
School counselors have started posting up in staff rooms and hallways so they can encourage teachers to talk about what they're experiencing and connect them with services. But despite a need for mental health support across the board, officials say they're still struggling to hire enough counselors.
It's a little bit like rain in the desert in the summer. It just, as soon as it hits the ground, it disappears.
Roy Applegate helps lead the trauma response team in Butte County Schools.
We can give our counselors who we have hired as many hours as they need, and they're full up all the time, and they're working to the max.
Applegate came out of retirement to help out. So did fire recovery counselor Pamela Beeman.
Those schools are really needy. They really, really use the help.
Beeman says she's committed to finishing out the spring term at her school, but doesn't know if she can continue on after that. Counselors say as much as people want to be over the trauma, the recovery period is just getting started. And the next fire season is right around the corner. For the California Report, I'm Michelle Wiley in Butte County.
PG&E's newly installed CEO says he will be visiting Paradise today and tomorrow to see firsthand the impact of the campfire, which the utility has admitted its equipment probably caused. KQED's Dan Brecke reports Bill Johnson's trip here comes after a federal judge sentenced the utility's entire board of directors to tour the scene of the catastrophe.
U.S. District Court Judge William Alsup issued the unusual sentence after finding PG&E violated the terms of probation imposed after a pipeline safety conviction arising from the 2010 natural gas pipeline disaster in San Bruno. Alsup told the company he wants the board to visit Paradise and San Bruno by mid-July. CEO Bill Johnson said outside court he thought Alsup's sentence made sense, and that's why he's heading up to Paradise himself.
The only way to know something, really, is to go see it. But I also want to see the people there and talk to people who've been affected and just, you know, I empathize greatly with this tragedy.
Alsup also ordered the board to form a committee to monitor the company's compliance with court orders and wildfire safety regulations. For the California Report, I'm Dan Brecke.
Let's go to Malibu now, site of the deadly Woolsey Fire, which leveled more than 1,600 structures. One of the many homes lost belonged to art teacher Nicole Fisher and her husband. Half a year later, KCRW's Evan George caught up with Fisher at her property high up in the Santa Monica Mountains.
Nicole Fisher has not moved home. She's just visiting, and she brought her two dogs. They're doing donuts around her.
This is weird for you dogs, isn't it? Where's your house?
Everything is gone, even the foundation. There's a driveway, a pile of cement, and a dirt plot surrounded by California oak trees. The good news is her insurance hasn't been a problem. They've been renting a condo, and with their youngest graduating high school, they're designing a house from the ground up. She calls it a blank canvas.
We had lots of little bedrooms. Now we don't need so many little bedrooms. I can finally have my art studio. So we'll make some adjustments.
But she's clearly less hopeful about the process. The hardest part, she says, has been maneuvering all the regulations. And if they keep hitting roadblocks, they may rethink the decision. She says most of their close friends lost their homes, and they've all faced different permitting challenges. But one thing's constant.
Sometimes I think we're all still in shock. I think it feels like we're not making any progress. And I think that's sort of a consensus from most people, is that it's very slow.
Because you don't know anybody whose home is actually in progress being built, do you?
No. I think people are still deciding whether they can build.
For the California Report, I'm Evan George in Malibu.
Support for the California Report comes from Collective Health. Learn how Collective Health works before employees and candidates ask for it at smartcompaniesknow.com. Paint Care. Through Paint Care, paint manufacturers make it easier for households and businesses to recycle leftover house paint with over 800 convenient drop-off locations around California. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing, through science, the interdependence of all living systems.
In other state news, a Ninth Circuit Appeals Court panel has ruled the U.S. government can force asylum seekers to wait in Mexico until their court dates, at least while a lawsuit over the practice makes its way through the courts. The decision reverses one issued last month by a judge in San Francisco. Governor Gavin Newsom has unveiled a plan to end the sales tax on diapers and menstrual products. The move could cost the state tens of millions of dollars, but supporters argue these items are necessities. Newsom's predecessor, Jerry Brown, vetoed a similar proposal last year. And Uber and Lyft drivers are on strike this morning as Uber prepares to start selling its stock to the public. Drivers say they want to bring attention to falling wages and the lack of job security. They're asking passengers to join the boycott. And that is the California Report for Wednesday, May 8th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Lily Jamali, reporting from Paradise.